new. It's fresh. It's hot off the presses. I like that. This is an extensive needs assessment study. It's done by MSU Extension. But, man, there's a lot of good stuff in here. It talks about Montana's community needs and what's really, really important to you as well. We're going to dig into that today. Numerous challenges out there for us as well. And we'll talk about how the state is tackling them from this perspective, from this office. And this office is the campus of Montana State University. As we are talking MSU Extension, they have their annual conference going on here. Welcome from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. 2 decades strong, and we're working on 3, and we're happy to be here on campus again. We love to go 406 in, here at the Strand Union Building, the Student Union Building here on campus. A bit later on, we will hear from campus president, MSU president, Dr. Wadid Cruzado, also later on to more of these projects that some of our extension agents are getting involved in. Dr. Brianna Routh is going to be with us, extension food and nutrition specialist, and her and Katrin Finch will come on. They'll talk about a Montana Master Food Preservers program, which I imagine now, as we look at inflation and we look at, you know, how self-sufficient we like to be in the state of Montana, there's probably a lot of people that are very much more interested in that. Again, Tom Schultz alongside. Thank you for being here. Our first guest is Carrie Ash, and Carrie is the Associate Director of Extension. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me today.
You were up on stage earlier.
I've been up on stage a lot the last couple of days.
Yeah. So. Yeah, this started actually Monday. How's it going?
It's going great. You know, Tom, it is so good to have all of our Extension faculty and staff on campus. So we have about 140 of us here this week meeting for a once-a-year get-together that we do annually, generally in October. And it's good to get the whole organization together. We are a widespread organization covering the entire state, and so it's fun to cover those miles and get back to Bozeman.
Yeah, well, that is very true. You guys are all over the place. I think if you go to your Extension website, I think it is msuextension.org, you'll see those places that you're listed at. But when you talk about getting the gang here, what's the gang? What is Extension?
That's an awesome question to start with, Tom. We are an outreach arm of the university. We are funded federally through state dollars and through county dollars, so we are, as well as grants and contracts. So we have a little bit of everything for everyone. We do outreach. We bring the resources of the university, so those unbiased scientific resources, in really translatable, easy to understand ways to the people of the state. So Montana State University is the land-grant institution of the state, and it is our duty and job to bring the resources of the university to every Montanan across the state.
Well, and you do. When you look at the web, you're in the High Line, you're Malta and Plentywood and those areas, and then you're in western Montana, and almost every corner of this state. Is there some place you're not that you're trying to get to?
No. Tom, you bet we are in every county, and yeah. We serve every tribal community in the state with field faculty. We refer to them as agents. So we have field faculty all across the state, as well as programmatic specialists here on campus who are generally departmentalized, and they really are up on the latest research and helping to work alongside our agents to bring that information to citizens of the state.
Some of that latest research, as I had just said earlier, is this needs assessment. I mean, it's just fresh, hot off the presses. This is, was this done 2022?
Yes, data collected starting in January.
2,000 plus. Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, I love this sort of stuff, and you must too.
This is fun for me. I really enjoy needs assessments. Foundational to what we do in Extension is assessing the needs of the people and places of the state. So sometimes those needs are local to a community, and sometimes it's a statewide need. We took a pretty solid formal effort here in 2022 to reach out to folks all across Montana with a statewide survey to determine issues of importance, needs in local communities, programs of interest, and modalities or ways that people like to learn so that we can best meet the needs of the state. So we did a statewide survey, which garnered over almost 2,500 responses from Montanans across the state. And we also engaged in local level listening sessions and key informant interviews to really get one-on-one with constituents across the state and hear from them what matters.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would give that credit to our faculty and staff that helped collect that data. I just got to put it all together and do the organizing.
Yeah, but when you get out there and you're talking to people, I mean, that's where you learn. And that's what a university is all about.
Absolutely.
So you talk about putting the resources of Montana State University to work. This is a very important process in that. I know there's things in here that you kind of want to go into a little bit, but let's talk about that and then talk about how you do aim your resources at trying to solve some of these problems. But when you look at this, and I'll try to describe it to people, and it'll be up on the website real soon. Again, real fresh off the presses. It's not exactly there yet, but look for it maybe later this week or next week, msuextension.org. And again, it's the statewide needs assessment report. I'm just going to – what stands out for you here?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I think some of the things that really pop out to me. So we asked individuals what issues are important to them. And then we also asked them how satisfied they are with their community's response to an issue. So not only do we know what's important, but we know if it's perhaps important, but they're pretty satisfied. That would indicate to us that although it's important, it's not perhaps the highest need.
There you go.
And so we have issues of importance that fell to the top of the list. Water quality was at the very top of the list for Montana residents, but also near the top, things like healthcare, things like affordable food options, development of life skills for youth, and rural community vitality are some in the top 10. And so we have a lot of issues that are important, and then we asked a follow-up question of how satisfied people are with their community's response to those issues. And when you factor in that satisfaction, you can come up with a ranking of need. And so if something is very important but they're not satisfied, it becomes higher and higher need. And so you'll see in our report when you take a look at it that there are a list of the top 20 needs in the state. Unless folks have been living under a rock, they might have heard that there's some affordable housing issues in the state. That's not a traditional extension.
And maybe they're living under a rock because of that, too.
So, well, we hope not.
Yeah, right.
But that's certainly a pressing issue in the state right now. And, you know, something that is folks would probably think is not a traditional extension program area. We have four program areas in extension that we generally work within: agriculture and natural resources, family and consumer sciences, community development, and 4-H youth development. So affordable housing isn't, you know, something that comes to the top of mind when you think of those four traditional extension program areas. But yet it is a very real need facing communities. And so in some of our rural communities, they don't have someone working on that issue. And so it's a great opportunity for an extension field faculty member to pull together a group of people to have conversations about what a community might do. Great example up in Chester in Liberty County, over 80 people showed up to a listening session to talk about their concerns in that area. And our field faculty member is now holding conversations with community members. What can they do about affordable housing?
Okay, while we're on that, before we go down this list, then you see that, and then you look at the resources of the university. How do you initiate? What do you apply? Where does the next step go if you're going to address that issue and it's very important?
Yeah, and so we have a community development specialist that's mm-hmm. pulling together some resources to help our field faculty address those conversations, working with NeighborWorks Montana. And so a lot of what we do in Extension is partner to meet local needs. So there are people doing that work and interested in getting into rural areas to have those conversations, but maybe don't have the conduit to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And so we're connecting the resources in the dots. It doesn't mean that Extension is all of a sudden going to become the experts on affordable housing, but if that is a local community need, it's something we want to talk about and address.
Carrie Ash is with us here. We're at Montana State University. The MSU Extension Program has their annual conference, and so we're here in the student, the Strand Union Building, and Carrie, Associate Director for Extension. There's a lot of things that probably pop out here for you, so go ahead, continue on with.
Yeah, I think the cool thing that I see in the top 20 list of needs here is that you see a wide range of topic areas. So counseling or mental health services is something Extension has been working in the mental health realm for quite a few years now. And we have a lot of opportunities for community education around the mental health topic, such as mental health first aid is a program that we do across the state.
Oh.
I also see on here rural community vitality is a top need.
Yeah.
And so we have the Reimagining Rural program, which works with rural communities to highlight what's important and what's valuable about that community.
It's a really cool program. We did an extended show
that.
Yeah. It really went all, it goes all over the place, too. So,
it
does. Good stuff. Yeah.
It does. Another thing we were excited to see, 80% of folks said that agricultural profitability was very important to them. And when you look at the demographics of the people who took this survey, only about a fifth of them were farmers and ranchers.
Ah.
And yet 80% of respondents recognize the value of agriculture to the state and ensuring that those producers are profitable and recognizing the impact that has on Montana.
And again, need equals importance plus dissatisfaction. So you look at that, that's kind of, and you list the top 20 needs here. That's sort of in the middle, just to give some figures on it. Most of these importance statistics rise above 85%, somewhere at 77% for the top 20 issues. They go up to about 88%, like you mentioned, water quality. Interesting of note there that there is less concern about water quality, less dissatisfaction, I should say.
You're correct.
But 80% for agricultural profitability is important, and then 46.2% dissatisfied. Just to give some figures out there, that's how you come up with this.
The ranking.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. The other one we were excited to see is a high need development of life skills for youth. Most people have heard of 4-H, the Youth Development Program of Montana State University Extension. And 4-H does a phenomenal job of developing life skills in our youth. And so it's a great opportunity for us to better market and expand what we do in 4-H as well.
You know, and we were just talking about 4-H at the office, as a matter of fact, and how many people have kind of been through part of it one way or another, and not maybe not the misunderstanding, but the unawareness that it's more than just animals and cooking nowadays.
It absolutely is. Yeah. There's robotics. There's career development. There's all kinds of things you can do in 4-H that are... And raising a steer is one of the great ones.
Yes.
The animals are one of the great ones. Showing your animals at the fair is a highlight of many 4-H'ers' careers. But there's a lot of different things you can do in 4-H, traditional and non-traditional. So it provides lots of opportunities for youth at the state.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Go ahead. I don't want to take away from some of these things that pop out to you.
Oh, no. I wanted to share just briefly. We asked generally about community needs, but we also asked, what do these survey respondents look to extension for? And the top program of interest for survey respondents was home gardening. And so the number one thing that Montanans are currently in this survey looking to extension for is home gardening. The second is tree and shrub care. And so we're known for that topic area, and
yeah,
we do an excellent job if you're familiar with some of our resources or our Master Gardener program, for example. And so we'll continue to provide those programs that are of great interest to folks, and also look at opportunities to expand what we do to meet new needs or emerging needs.
Give us a word, if you would, about mental health, because one of the respondents here, and it's noted in this assessment, respondents earning $10,000 to $20,000 annually. Again, you measured, you parsed out these demographics, were most interested in mental health. And I think when you look at that, and you look at, well, they're sort of trapped in low income range, mm-hmm, then you start applying resources not only to the consultation that goes with mental health, but the social conditions around it. So prosperity in your communities probably has something to do with that.
Yeah, and you know, we'll never be counselors in, mm-hmm, that's not our expertise in Extension, but what we are excellent at is education. Mm-hmm. And so Extension is able to offer a lot of opportunities in mental health. I wouldn't have time to go through all of them, but a few to highlight. We do the Youth Aware of Mental Health program. It's an in-school program where we work one-on-one, with classes of kids, mm-hmm, talking about mental health topics and kind of dispelling stigma around that topic. We also offer... field faculty across the state offer mental health first aid for both youth and adults, which is basically, if you think about first aid, like we know it, CPR,
yeah,
that sort of thing,
yeah,
a first line of defense when something goes wrong. So an understanding of mental health and how you can react when you think someone might be struggling.
That's a critical need in this state.
It sure is. The third that I would mention that I think is really important is our farm stress work. So agricultural producers, farmers and ranchers, and those across the state really sometimes struggle with mental health and with things that, you know, there's a lot of stress in their jobs. And so we have a farm stress program. We have a lot of resources available for farmers and ranchers. And so, you know, if you go to msuextension.org and check out some of our resources, there is a multitude of programs and resources around mental health to connect people to the help that they need.
And I really love that all the people I've met through Extension, they're in on the vision. They're all in. They want to help. And that's that does me good right here. You know what I mean?
You know, Extension is here to help. That's what we do. That's why we all love our jobs. And so I think we have a phenomenal group of faculty and staff to work to meet the needs of the people of the state.
Carrie, thank you for what you do. Appreciate it.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for having me today, Tom.
Yeah, we'll take a break and come on back. We've got more upcoming here as well. That's Carrie Ash, Associate Director of Extension. And we're going to talk next with Dr. Brianna Routh, Extension Food and Nutrition Specialist. We're going to kind of get into that territory that that looks and rises right to the top about people interested in home gardening and preserving. So that's next with Dr. Routh and Katrin Finch. Back with more. It's From Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana.
Did you know that many Montanans qualify for health insurance plans that cost less than $10 a month? At Cover Montana, it's our mission to help you find the plan that meets your health needs and your monthly budget. Whether you are new to the state, recently lost coverage, or starting a family, there are affordable options available to you right now. Visit us at covermontana.org to learn more. Phone, virtual, and in-person appointments are available. That's covermontana.org. We're here to help you get covered. This work is supported by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services as part of a financial assistance award totaling $1,250,000, with 100% funded by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and Health and Human Services. The contents are those of the author and authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Health and Human Services, or the U.S. government.
Wadid Cruzado will join us a bit later on. Since January 2010, she's been, 2010 I should say, she's been serving at this university, 12th president for Montana State University. And I know she's an Extension believer. We're here. Welcome back. Tom Schultz alongside. We are at the Estran Union building, the kind of the student union building here on the campus of Montana State University. Now with Dr. Brianna Routh and Katrin Finch. And thank you. Good morning. How's it going?
Great. Thanks so much for having us today.
It's really good to have you here. I'm going to pull that down just a little bit more for you. There you are.
Perfect.
Yeah. And Katrin?
Yes.
What's going on?
I'm just hanging out.
And so
happy
is your little girl.
Here.
I met your little Everly, right?
Yes, little Everly. Aww. First conference.
For 6 months, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yep. Give her six more months, and then she'll be leading this thing.
Yes,
right?
She'll
yeah,
be in charge.
Yeah, very, very beautiful child. Dr. Routh, Extension Food and Nutrition Specialist, and Katrin, an agent. Where are you located?
I'm located in Cascade County, so based out of Great Falls.
Oh, cool. We got... Mm-hmm. KQDI, talk of the town up there.
Yes.
And Brianna, you're associate right here.
Yep, I'm based out of Bozeman, but I serve the whole state.
Tell me how you serve the whole state then. We're here to kind of talk about this Montana Master Food Preservers Program. Why don't you launch into that, and then we'll talk about, you know, what you're excited about there.
Great, fantastic. Well, so as you just heard from our needs assessment and from a previous needs assessment that we did, we know that Montanans are really interested in local foods. They want to know where their food's coming from. They want to be able to keep their foods for longer when that growing season does get a little short here in Montana. And they just are interested in that home food preservation process. And so one of my roles as a specialist is that I get to teach people how to do this with research-based methods safely in their homes. And one of the Master Food Preserver program is how we really train our agents and volunteers in the community to be able to provide that really sound information when folks across Montana call us in and say, hey, how do I can my green beans? What can I do with my beets? And so what we are doing is trying to grow that capacity. So it's not just me that answers your questions, but it's a really fantastic group of trained folks that can then share that with you when you call into your local extension office or even ask your neighbor or family member, hey, how do I can and preserve this safely? So this program is really one of our food and nutrition efforts that's trying to make nutritious and safe food available and accessible to all.
Katrin, you're an MSU Extension agent in Cascade County, and pardon the pun, but how hungry are people for this program in that area?
They are incredibly hungry. I offer a four-week food preservation series every fall, and due to the kitchen size, I can only have about 12 people, and I inevitably have about 15 to 20 people that are register or want to register. So I typically have to run a second session just because people are so interested in figuring out how to preserve that food. And based on the things that have happened in the last few years, that interest in preserving their own food and having food on the shelves for an extended period of time has only increased. And so it is nice to have the Master Food Preserver program as a foundation for both myself as an educator, but also for those people that are coming to the classes. They can learn those truly safe ways and methods to preserve food in a variety of ways. It's not all just canning. We talk about freezing, we talk about dehydration, and we also talk about fermentation as well.
Well, that's real cool. And I've heard that word a number of times, safety. And I think that's real important. Dr. Routh with us here as well, Extension Foods and Nutrition Specialist here at Montana State University. I'm gonna throw that to you in this aspect. How much is education? How much is re-education? How much of my grandmother's recipes are still going to be applied? And how much did grandma not know that we know now?
That's a really fantastic question. And I think I love grandma's recipes.
Yes.
She made some really great foods. And it's a wonderful experience to cook together with family in the kitchen. But a lot of those recipes, we've learned some things over time around how to make those recipes safe. And so what we can do in Extension is look through that recipe to let you know, does this align with what we know are the current safe practices to be able to make sure that that food that you're keeping on the shelf for the long time, that you're sharing with family and friends, is not going to make them sick when they go to eat it. And so we have some really great ideas around what those research-based recipes are that we can share with you. We also have some strategies. Say, if you really want to still use grandma's recipe, great. It may not be the safest thing to can, but we've got some other ideas. Maybe stick that in your freezer or make some modifications so that you can follow the research-based recipe, but add in the corn to your salsa a little bit later on in the process after you've opened it again. So we really are focused on the safety aspects, making sure that some of those not so helpful germs aren't growing in your food when it's sitting there on the shelf, because some of those can make you really sick. In fact, some of them can even be deadly, and we just don't want to see that happen around Montana. So please keep canning with your families. Please keep bringing in those recipes. But when it comes to what exactly are some of those processes that you might do, how do you safely water bath or pressure can? When should you get things tested, like your pressure can or lid tested? At least once a year, come into your local extension office to get that tested before you start pressure canning. And we do know that some of these processes have changed over time. Some recipes have changed over time. Mm-hmm. For example, our tomatoes just aren't as acidic as they used to be. And so some of our recipes we can water bath can, but some of those tomato recipes we have to recommend that you pressure can them now. So recipes are getting modified, updated. We're testing new recipes, testing new processes. Katrin mentioned fermentation. We've got a lot of growing interest in that here too.
And that's fermentation is becoming more and more popular. I think kombucha is one of the more popular drinks that are fermented. And I've had so many people in my classes just, we want to learn about fermentation. We want to know more about fermentation. I actually just got a call on Monday while I was here about someone that had tried to make some sort of a cabbage relish. It was kind of a mix between sauerkraut and a pickled vegetable recipe.
Kudos.
But unfortunately the jars didn't seal, so we had to talk about what that process was in order to, if the food was salvageable, unfortunately, because it had been more than 24 hours, we weren't able to keep those foods. But we also talked about, what can we do if our jars don't seal? How can we keep that food safe? So 24 hours, you have 24 hours to remake the food if it goes awry.
let's go into some of those areas then, those specific things that we're missing, so to speak. Go ahead, Dr. Roth.
Yeah, so when we're thinking about canned and preserved foods especially, we want to think about that acid content. Is it a high acid food or a low acid food? High acid foods, we can do things like water bath canning or atmospheric steam canning. Low acid foods have an increased food safety risk, and so we want to pressure can them to make sure things like nasty botulism are taken care of. We also have some things to consider here in Montana. We've got a variety of elevations happening across the state, so that can impact how long or at what pressure you need to can. So you can also call us and say, hey, my recipe didn't work quite like I thought. Maybe your jam didn't set quite the right way, or your jars didn't seal. You can call us, as Ketrin mentioned, within that 24-hour period, and we can give you some guidance, some ideas, some strategies for how you can still salvage those foods and think about what exactly is that safe process for keeping that food longer on your shelf. So we really are trying to make sure that we address all of the food safety concerns that might be going on, which is why we do recommend those research-tested recipes with the ingredients recommended, the steps recommended, and all of the processes kind of taken into account so that there's a little less art when it comes to food preservation and a little more science that has to go in it in order to ensure that your foods stay safe for longer.
Yeah, I always tell people, call me as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Don't wait to call. Don't call me when you're at the end of the canning process saying, wait, I don't know if I did this right. I'm always happy to help people walk through step by step. And then if you're not sure if something was right, call me sooner rather than later. Because the sooner you call, the more we can do to help preserve what it is that you've made. If anybody has done any food preservation, it takes hours upon hours. I do a salsa and pickle class, and salsas take quite a long time. There are a lot of prep steps that you have to take care of before you actually get to the salsa making part. So after 5-6 hours and you finally get that food into the jars and into the canners, and then you realize they haven't sealed, you don't want to throw away those 15-20 pints of product.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. It's expensive in time, but it's also expensive in money. And so I always tell people the least favorite part of my job is having to tell people that their food is no longer safe and they have to throw away those 15 pints of whatever it is they've made. So
that's devastating.
Yes, yeah. It's heartbreaking for me, and I can only imagine on the receiving end of that message of like, what? I can't eat it? So the sooner you call, we can always help find another way to keep that food safe.
Well, we've only got like 30 seconds left. So your favorite recipe and your favorite recipe.
Ooh.
Ketrin, go ahead.
I think my favorite recipe is the Chili Salsa 2 out of the So Easy to Preserve book, which is published by the University of Georgia. It's a very basic salsa recipe. It's almost like a pico de gallo, and then you can blend it up, add all of the things that you want to make it extra flavorful after it's canned.
I'm getting ready this weekend. Today is crunch time, so crunch into some local Montana produce. And I'm getting ready to use some of my excess apples for some canned applesauce. So think about all of the variety of things that you can, fruits, vegetables, meats, all of it here from in Montana can go in a can and keep for later.
Dr. Brianna Routh and also Ketrin Finch, thank you guys so much. Take a break. Dr. And President of the University of Montana
Voices
State University,
Wadi
Crusado, will join us in just a bit on Voices of Montana.
Supreme Court Justice Ingrid Gustafson has a proven track record of fairness, a commitment to our rights and freedoms, and always upholds the Montana Constitution. She stands up to powerful special interests, defending our freedoms and our livelihoods. Ingrid's not a politician and keeps politics out of the courtroom. That's what it means to be fair and impartial and make responsible decisions. Vote Ingrid Gustafson for Supreme Court. Paid for by Montana Rural Voters Action Fund, Deborah Hansen, Treasurer, P.O. Box 414, Billings, Montana, 59103.
Welcome, great to have you along here. Two decades strong, working on three. We'll be around. We'll keep working at it, too, and I hope you're kicking it today. Midweek, Tom Schultz alongside 406. And we're at Montana State University. Beautiful campus. It is growing. It is expanding. At the Student Strand Union Building for the MSU Extension Program Annual Conference. Great content earlier. And as I mentioned, Dr. Wadid Cruzado, President of Montana State University, joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for being here. Appreciate
that. Always a
that.
Pleasure to have you here with us.
Yeah.
Welcome to MSU.
Yeah, we love it. And like I said, this campus is expanding. I mean, I can't even keep track of it. What's going on? What's going on around
Well,
campus?
There are many wonderful things happening. Again, we recorded a great class enrollment this fall. We opened the doors to over 16,600 students.
Wow.
We are very proud of that. So Montana State University continues to be the university of choice in the state of Montana.
Yeah, and I see new construction as well. And,
yes.
And I think we should talk about that because as I'm talking with other people around the state, they have got projects and they're looking at inflation causing the expenses to go way up on that. And it's difficult to manage. And I know as leading this university, that's not only concern for you because but for your students. How is inflation impacting your students, and what can you do from about it?
Well, you know, on the part of the new construction projects, we have been blessed with a lot of support from particularly from our alumni and some benefactors. Just to mention a few,
yeah.
You know, we opened Romney Hall, which is thanks to the generosity of the taxpayers of Montana, $25 million from the state, $7 million that we raised. Our Bobcat fans came together and they raised $18 million for our Bobcat athletic complex. And our students came together for our student wellness center after we lost our fitness centers a few years ago due to snow load.
Yeah.
And between their fees and some insurance money, we will be able to put all our health services under one and the same tent. Now, you touch on a very important topic, and that is inflation. We have noticed that for some of our projects, they come with an initial 30%, 40% tag. So, you know, we are right now talking about these five buildings that we will be throughout the state of Montana for nursing education in Bozeman, Billings, Great Falls, Kalispell, and Missoula. But we're being impacted with new construction costs. Same thing, thanks to the generosity of the Jim Forte Family Foundation, we are in the planning process for a new building for computer science, for optics, photonics, music technology, film and photography, but that's also the case. Our students are being impacted by inflation. We're trying to do our best so that they, right here in their campus, they have access to affordable meals every day, right?
Yeah.
We're keeping our costs down. And here's the thing that we're trying to do, Tom. We launched a new program that we call the Gold Standard. And basically what the Gold Standard is about, it's inviting our students, come and work for us at Montana State University. Do you need some extra money? Oh, we have the job for you. You can work in culinary. You can work at the library. You can work in every department. You can work at our residence halls, right? We want to make sure that we give our students first the opportunity to work for us, to make some money, and also to be able to save some money on the side as well and graduate on time with less debt.
I've always appreciated how you've been so student-focused or not let that as an important focus of the campus drift. We're with Dr. Wadid Cruzado, President of Montana State University. Again, since 2010, I mentioned that earlier. And you look at a list of those projects and the expansion and enrollment growing as well. I'm going to take that care aspect that you have for students because you're a land-grant university.
Proud of it.
And there is that's right. There is never a public appearance that you're at that you don't mention that. And so as we talk about Montana State Extension, Montana State University Extension, that's probably pretty near and dear to your heart.
Absolutely. Well, thanks to Extension, we can in truth say that the entire state of Montana is our campus. And that is because those extension agents, those extension experts, they are part of our mission. And not only in name, you know, in the last few years, some of the most important projects that we have been able to launch at Montana State University, thanks, have been in collaboration with Extension. Let me just mention two.
Please.
So back in 2014, we identified what everybody's now talking about, mental health. Well, we identified that as a need in 2014, and we went to the Board of Regents and we established the Center for Mental Health Research and Recovery.
Oh.
That part is important because we want to make sure that we don't wait years for the product of that research to go out and benefit some folks.
Nice.
So in those interventions, guess what? Extension has been a partner. Why? Because Extension is right there in our communities. Extension agents are the trusted brokers, if you will. They know if there are some families that are in distress, there are some families that have some financial difficulties. So what kind of interventions we can make early on so that we help those families? So that's one of the partnerships that we have with Extension. Another one. On the topic of the land-grant university, and we are here to educate the sons and daughters of the working families of Montana, we established 7 years ago the Hilleman Scholars, right, which is exactly for those Montana residents, for those kids that first they don't see themselves as college materials, but if we bring them here and if we give them very high expectations, right, and a lot of structure, let's see what happens. Well, our extension agents are our main recruiters. They are the ones who are telling us, right, where in our rural communities, where are those hidden gems that they are not thinking about college. But if they are given that opportunity, they will be able to succeed. Now, we just welcome our seventh cohort, which means that we have graduated three. All those students, they are working. Some of them who didn't think of themselves as college material, guess what? Some of them are in law school. Some of them are in medical school. So they're going to transform the face of the state of Montana.
You know, and your organization, the university, the institution, and I relate this because every one of these MSU Extension people that we have talked to over the years, all the agents, they're all in. On the mission, and they're all very kind and willing to help, and I think that happens across this institution as well. And you're kind of relating that when you can take somebody who, when you care enough about a community, to reach into that community, pull somebody out
yep.
who's got great potential but doesn't recognize it. That's a heck of a mission, but there's a lot of reward in that.
Absolutely, but that's the value-added proposition of the land-grant university, right? If all we do is focus on the best and the brightest, those kids are going to be successful no matter what they land. But I am very interested in that kid, right, that maybe he doesn't think that he has a wherewithal. But if we give them very high expectations and the tools to be successful, you know what? More likely than not, they will stretch and they will answer that call. On Extension, I love Extension because you know what? Those individuals, they're all caught by the same piece of cloth. I call it the Extension bones. They are good people, right? And that's why they're able to motivate not only individuals, but entire communities to believe in themselves. And they take the great research that we conduct here at Montana State, and they translate it and give it back to the communities where they will be able to be successful.
Go ahead and brag about some of that research. I know that you guys have been recognized nationally as one of the institutions that does a lot of leading research and that brings in funding and it opens up doors and things like that. What is it top of mind for you? What are you excited about?
Oh, my goodness. We're very excited. One of the measures, and this is not the most important indicator, but let me just throw it out. So we are Carnegie R1. We were the first university in the state of Montana since 2006, right, to be recognized as an R1. What that means in this particular case, we crossed the line this last year of $200 million in research expenditures. For perspective, it took us 37 years to get to the first $100 million. It took us less than 10 years to move from $100 million to $200 million. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Those are dollars that go, this doesn't come directly to the university. This goes to advance knowledge. This goes to develop new wheat varieties. This goes to precision agriculture. We're so happy now that we are vice president for agriculture, is one of the foremost experts in precision agriculture. What does that mean? That we're going to teach our farmers and producers to have to, how they can reduce their cost, right? And how they can maximize the profit so that we can have very healthy communities in Montana. Those are some of the great things that we're doing in terms of research.
I'm going to come back. I got to take a break right now, and it'll be a short break, and we've got a few more minutes. I know, thank you for coming in and offering us your time here today. It's very
When Tom calls, I always answer.
Did you guys get that on tape, by the way? Did you get that on tape? We'll take a break and come on back with more. Dr. Wadid Cruzado, president of Montana State University, here today on Voices of Montana.
Is your alcohol or drug use starting to affect everyday life? Are you planning your day around your next drink? Are you hiding drinking or drug use from friends and family? These are common signs that your drinking or drug use might be part of a larger health challenge called addiction. Addiction is a chronic disease made worse by excessive use of alcohol or drugs. Most times, quitting on your own becomes impossible. That's where Rimrock can help. The largest facility in the region, Rimrock is ready to build you a custom roadmap to recovery. Rimrock has numerous treatment choices, including medical detoxification, inpatient treatment, residential living, and outpatient options. Rimrock offers a full-service mental health center designed to treat the whole person and continue with you after you leave treatment, including telehealth, wherever you might live. Start your recovery journey with Rimrock, and let's work together to create your roadmap to recovery. Call 800-227-3953. Or visit rimrock.org.
406, and we love doing that. We are in Bozeman, Montana, the campus, Montana State University. The MSU Extension Program is having their annual conference. It's wrapping up today. President Wadid Cruzado will address this conference here very shortly. We talked earlier about the statewide needs assessment report. A lot of good things off of that. Again, just reminding you, that'll be up shortly and available. That was just newly minted. So go to msuextension.org for more on that. And again, President Cruzado, thank you for being here. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Tom.
I don't hear much about the Bobcat football
team.
What do you mean? How are they doing? There's no news about them out there.
I'm telling you, we are just, once again, knocking out of the park. Very proud about our volleyball team, yeah. But what about those football players? Yeah. I'm telling you one thing. Last Saturday, I was just so happy. We had a victory in our football team. We had a victory in our volleyball team. And
I'll
just
say
take
the university down the road didn't.
Well, I'm so sorry. But take a look at the rankings. Go to the standings of the Big Sky Conference. And would you please, Tom, tell me which team is the number one in the Big Sky Conference? Okay, I'm gonna say it. It's Montana State. But not only here. Which one then went up in the rankings? Number two in the nation. Yeah. It's Montana State University.
The blue and gold, for sure. And much luck, okay? Continued success,
you
guys. You got Weber this week. It'll be a tough challenge.
But I'm going to have all my Aggies in the stands. It's Celebrate Ag Week, so, boy, they're going to be loud.
Oh, I bet they will. Taylor Brown is here with us,
there
too.
You go.
He's nodding. And he's a troublemaker. We're taking a bus down for it, too. What do you want to impart? A couple of things. What do you want to impart on the MSU Extension agents? What do you want to take away from them at your visit here?
Well, first of all, I think it's so important for Extension to feel that they are a very important part of our mission, right? When we talk about the land-grant university, we talk about a tripartite, three-part mission. That is that every day when we wake up, we come here and we're going to do three things with excellence. We're going to teach with excellence. We're going to advance knowledge through research with excellence. And we are going to serve our communities with excellence through Extension. Without Extension, Montana State University would not be what it is. It is so important for them. Just as I said before, they take our new research, right, and take it to, as the Congressional Act, Smith-Lever, that founded them, they take that knowledge to the non-residents of the university, to those communities that need to have that knowledge to make sure that they also accomplish prosperity in their lives.
That's an important message for them. Is it something that... I suppose that has to be drilled into all of us all the time, doesn't
yes.
it? The value that we bring. What do you hope to take away from them? I know that giving your style, you're going to chat face-to-face with some of these extension agents.
Well,
what do you want to take away?
I think it's important for me to listen to them as well, right? They are our voices out there in our community. So I want to hear, and again, the statewide needs assessment report is a great starting point. So where are our communities? What are the things that we need to do? How can the land-grant university of the state of Montana be more responsive to those communities? So this has to be, Tom, really a two-way street in order for us to be successful together.
We don't have a ton of time, maybe about 30, 40 seconds for this. Top issues, top challenges for higher education.
You know, I think that, first of all, the value of higher education has been questioned by a lot of folks. It's important for us to go back to those individuals and say, hey, right, quite honestly, a college education is the ticket to success yeah. in life. Well, they say, well, what about the cost? And that's on us. We want to make sure that we keep the best quality of education at the most affordable price, but also that we give our students the help that they need. And yes, scholarships, professors, scholarships are fantastic. We have great donors who are very generous, but also that's why we're opening these doors of opportunities for students to work for us, yeah. work with us. And in doing that, be part of a community of experts. You will be able not only to take some money home and pay for your tuition, but you will be able to meet very experienced and professional individuals who can be part of your life forever.
Great pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much,
you
Tom.
Thank you.
Go Cats.
Yes. We'll see you guys tomorrow on Voices of Montana.
Opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.